I daydream a lot, especially during science class. I can dream up the perfect dessert, the perfect day, the perfect slice of pizza, even the perfect boy. But I have to tell you, sleeping or awake, I could never have imagined a place that looked like the Whispering Pines Mountain House. My best friend Jack's mother was a painfully slow driver, so it seemed to be taking forever to get closer to the hotel itself. But eventually, she managed to pull the car into the circular drive by the main entrance. Almost immediately, a guy in a red and black uniform and an embarrassing little cap approached our car. "Checking in?" he asked. And he glanced at the back seat at me and Jack and gave us a little wink. Now that's what I call service. "Yes," replied Mrs. Gray, a little icily. "We're with the Young Northeast Musicians Convention." Jack's mother is not exactly the warm and fuzzy type. I'm betting in a previous life, she was Attila the Hun or some other big guy with a spear that scared everybody half to death and ate raw meat. Jack leaned close to me and whispered,
"Cat, what do you think? A place like this has to be seething with ghosts, doesn't it?"
I didn't quite take to the concept of seething with ghosts. But Whispering Pines was built in the mid-1800s, and it was enormous. As one of the oldest hotels in the Northeast, the place was certain to be filled with spirits, and I was betting some of them were going to be very happy to see me. What's worse, I was betting some of them weren't. I didn't ask to be a medium. It just happened. Apparently, it runs in the family. My mom says if I ever have a child of my own, chances are 50-50 that on the kid's 13th birthday, they'll start seeing spooks too. Then there will be three consecutive generations of us who can communicate with the dead. If I have triplets, we could start our own spirit-seeing volleyball team. Imagine the possibilities.
"Girls, I'm going to go inside and get us checked in. Why don't you stay here with our things until I'm done?"
It wasn't really a question. Jack and I nodded, and Mrs. Gray stepped out of the car and walked primly toward the entrance. As usual, she was dressed like she'd just come from a reception at the White House.
"She seriously thinks the bellboy might rip off some of our stuff if we leave the car unattended," Jack said. "I'm sure her collection of tweeds and velvet headbands would cause a virtual stampede on eBay."
"I think it's your cello that she's worried about," I said.
"Well, that makes two of us," Jack muttered, staring out the window.
After the huge deal Jack had made about quitting the cello just 2 months ago, I was as surprised as everyone else when she started playing again. Secretly, I was pleased, but I tried not to make too much out of it. I knew Jack well enough to know that if and when she wanted to talk, she'd let me know. I examined her profile. Her red hair was pulled back with a silver barrette, exposing one tiny ear, and her eyebrows were furrowed. "Are you okay?" I asked. "Having second thoughts?" Jack shrugged. I remained silent. There was nothing I could say that would help the hopelessly complicated relationships that Jack had with her mother and with her cello. Jack was incredibly gifted. There was no doubt about that. But after a lifetime of being pushed to excel at her music, Jack had rebelled. Mrs. Gray had spent the last 2 months trying to lure Jack back to her musical studies. When she pitched the idea of attending the week-long YNMC convention at the famous Whispering Pines Mountain House, Jack agreed, under one condition. I had to be invited, too.
"Let's at least get out of the car," Jack said. "I want to smell the mountain air. I don't think the cello-thieving bellboy will try to make a move if we're standing right here."
I agreed with a giggle, and we climbed out of the SUV, which was the size of a small hut. I think Mrs. Gray thought it was safer to drive a ginormous car.
"This'll be so worth it," Jack said, taking my arm. "Look at this place. Look at that lake. There's supposed to be hiking trails all over the place, and you could take boats out on the water. I even heard there's a labyrinth in one of the gardens. I've never been in one, have you?"
I shook my head, pleased to see Jack looking so animated.
"And the best thing, Kat, the reason I agreed to come is that none of the YNMC stuff is required. You show up to what you want, when you want. And the parents have their own meetings, so they can't play prison warden 24/7. No pressure for once. We'll have plenty of time for some adventures."
She whispered the last word, and I knew that the adventures Jack most wanted were of the supernatural kind. Though Jack had an almost pathological fear of everything from yellow jackets to food poisoning, she had a hearty interest in the spirit world. Her enthusiasm had not been thwarted by the mega haunted house we'd explored over spring break, or by the ghost of the miserable flute player who'd haunted the school library. I had chosen my best friend wisely, because I had come to learn all too well that spirits flock to me like moths to a flame. As we waited for Jack's mom to return, enjoying the sun on our faces, my eye was drawn to a figure approaching on my right. She was a very tall, heavy-set woman of a grandmotherly age, with a severe face and a constricting Victorian outfit of long, full skirts and a cinched-in waist. She walked regally with a serious sense of purpose and was surrounded by an electric flicker that only the alternately energetically abled can achieve. Dead, you know? So I wasn't even in the door yet, and I'd seen my first ghost.